We'll continue with reading the selected teachings of Sri Ramana from this book, Thus Spake Ramana. And in this teaching, he is defending Shankara, the main teacher of Advaita Vedanta, who is attacked by other schools of Vedanta for believing everything is maya, everything is illusion, because of a famous syllogism in one of his teachings, which goes, the world is unreal, Brahman is real, Brahman is the absolute. The world is unreal, Brahman is real. And usually the schools that argue stop there, but the third line of the syllogism is, the world is Brahman. Okay? So the world as world is unreal, but the world as Brahman is real. So the question is there a world separate from Brahman? But those who argue against Shankara are arguing from the position of a worldly being, an ego in a world, which is exactly what he says is unreal. Okay, so this is number 71 in the book. It is not at all correct to say that the Advaitins, or the Shankara school, deny the existence of the world, or that they call it unreal. On the other hand, it is more real to them than to others, because their world will always exist, whereas the world of the other schools will have an origin, a period of growth, and a decay, and as such they cannot be real. Only, they say, the Advaitins, Shankara, says that the world as world is not real, but that the world as Brahman is real. All is Brahman. Nothing exists but Brahman, and the world as Brahman is real. So what Shankara says, Ramana goes on, is that Maya does not exist. He who denies the existence of Maya and calls it mithya, mithya means false, it's where the word myth comes from, but it means false in Sanskrit. He calls Maya itself an illusion. Maya is illusion, but the illusion itself is illusory, because it is non-existent, and therefore Shankara cannot be called a Mayavadi, meaning one who believes in the illusion. No, he is exactly pointing out that the illusion pertains to the ego. The ego lives in an illusory world, but the ego itself is illusory, and therefore its world does not even exist at all. It's a dream within a dream. But what is real is the one self that is beyond all the dreams, all of the narratives, all of the illusions. And to know Brahman, one must stop being an illusory entity. And to stop being an illusory entity means you must stop believing in the narratives that the mind produces. The problem with the ego is it believes its mind's thoughts. It believes its emotional reactions. It believes its projections on other people. It believes it knows what it thinks. It knows about other people and if they can be trusted or not and if they're good or not. And it takes very seriously its narratives. Those narratives are delusions. And it's only when one has the courage to realize that they must be illusions because there is only one self. There is only the light and awareness that is Brahman. Nothing else is real. And it's only through the letting go of all of those narratives, all of those stories and beliefs, that one can know the real self, and therefore the real world, because the real world is the world that is the manifestation of the self, not of the projections of the ego. So Ramana goes on and gives an example of this. A figure on the screen in a cinema show appears to watch the whole world. He's watching a character in the movie, is watching other characters in the movie. But what is the reality behind the subject and the object in the same show? An illusory being watches an illusory world. You and the world are as real as the cinema figure and its cinematic world. So the world is a holographic simulation. It is not real. It is made up of a collective set of projections, and the vertex of that projective identification energy that comes from the entities who are all dreaming their own individual egoic dreams becomes the field in which the world seems to appear. But it is purely a delusion. The delusion can only be uncovered, however, from the position of Brahman, not from the position of an ego within the field, because the ego within the field will only see things from its own perspective. But Brahman, being everywhere, is omnicentric and therefore recognizes the reality that everyone's subjectivity is projecting. And none of them are real. None of them. But once one has entered into that non-local field of consciousness that is omnicentric, the barrier between subject and object falls away. And thus there is no longer a separation between that which is projected and that which is subjectively felt and subjectively organized through interpretation. All of it dissolves into a single whole field of consciousness that has infinite potentiality, but no actuality. Because the world of constant change, a flux of differential modes, pixels, and fragments of interpretations and perceptions, has no reality. It's a kaleidoscope. What is real is the seer that contains all that is seen as its own reservoir, its own treasury of infinite information that can produce any kind of world appearance that wishes to be emerged from that infinite storehouse of understanding that produces the dream field. But the dreamer is never in the cinema. The dreamer is the director, the cinematographer, the screenwriter, the one who is behind the scenes, but whose power pervades all that appears. So I'll read one more, 74. Illusion is itself illusory. Illusion must be seen by one beyond it. So if you want to understand the world as an illusion that it is, you must be beyond the world, not a character within it. Can such a seer be subject to illusion? Can he then speak of degrees of illusion? There are scenes floating on the screen in a cinema show. Fire appears to burn buildings to ashes. Water seems to wreck vessels. But the screen on which the pictures were projected remains unscorched and dry. Why? Because the pictures were unreal, and the screen alone is real. So it is the screen of your consciousness, on which the world is projected that is real, but not the world that appears and that is in constant flux. So again, Ramana says, reflections pass through a mirror, but the mirror is not in any way affected by the quality or quantity of the reflections that are on it. So the world is a phenomenon in the single reality which is not affected in any manner. Reality is only one. So when you reach Brahman, when you reach the real, you will not be affected by appearance, by any of the apparent entities, because there is only one real, and it is that which you are. And by finding and abiding as the real, the illusion disappears, and only the real, only Brahman remains, and the world is realized as Brahman, as the self, unchanging, eternal, luminous, blissful, and filled with infinite meaningfulness. But there is only one consciousness appearing as the many. Thou art that. May you know the peace that comes from withdrawing into the void, the emptiness, in which no thought arises, in which there is no change, in which there is the absolute silence and stillness of that reality that is beyond life and death, to which all must return. And may you know the deeper peace of the realization that all is this void that is fullness, the absolute absence that is presence, that is world and self and God as an integrated whole. And may you know the supreme wholeness and the absolute brilliance, serenity, intelligence, and power of the absolute self.